So we can't do on chapter 9, text 48. Tato yudhishthiro gatva saha krishno gaja vayam. Pitaram sant vayam asa gandharyam cha tapasvinim. Thereafter, Maharaj Yudhisthira at once went to his capital, Hastinapura, accompanied by Lord Sri Krishna, and there he consoled his uncle and aunt, Gandhari, who was an ascetic. Ascetic means that she was renounced. She was a tapasvi. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, the father and the mother of Duryodhana and his brothers, were the elder uncle and aunt of Maharaj Yudhisthira. After the battle of Kurukshetra, the celebrated couple, having lost all their sons and grandsons, were under the care of Maharaj Yudhisthira. They were passing their days in great agony over such a heavy loss of life and were practically living the life of ascetics. The death news of Bhismadeva, uncle of Dhritarashtra, was another great shock for the king and the queen, and therefore they required solace from Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira was conscious of his duty, and he at once hurried to the spot with Lord Krishna and satisfied the bereaved Dhritarashtra with kind words from both himself and the Lord also. Gandhari was a powerful ascetic, although she was living the life of a faithful wife and a kind mother. It is said that Gandhari also voluntarily closed her eyes because of the blindness of her husband. A wife's duty is to follow the husband 100%. And Gandhari was so true to her husband that she followed him even in his perpetual blindness. Therefore, in her actions, she was a great ascetic. Besides that, the shock she suffered because of the wholesale killing of her 100 sons and her grandsons also was certainly too much for a woman. But she suffered all this just like an ascetic. Gandhari, although a woman, is no less than Bhismadeva in character. They are both remarkable personalities in the Mahabharata. Well, we can see that the dharma of a woman is to be faithful to her father and mother, and especially faithful to her husband. And we can see to what point this may be executed or performed. She did not want to feel superior to her husband, and because her husband was blind, she accepted to blindfold herself, although she could see, but to remain blindfolded so she would never think she's superior to her husband. So when it says that Gandhari was no less, although she was a woman, was no less than Bhismadeva in character, well, Bhismadeva, he made a very terrible vow when he was a young man. He vowed that he would never get married so that his father could marry Satyavati and have children with her. So Kunti Devi deciding never to see, therefore always kept on a blindfold, so she would never feel superior to her husband, is no less, let's say, severe of a vow than Bhismadeva. So we see that in the Vedic culture, there were exceptional people. Why? Because they were willing to follow what you would call moral, ethical, and spiritual principles without compromise, so that they could maintain a sense of humility and respect, and they would never want to cross the line of that humility and respect. And this is what and they would keep their vows. That's another most important thing, is a vow, a spiritual vow, is something that defines a person. It means who you are. And people expect that you keep a vow. Just like we make a vow to Srila Prabhupada that we will follow the four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 good rounds a day. That's a vow. That's who defines who we are. We're not defined by the clothes we wear or the car we drive or the amount of money we have in a bag or the position we have. You know, sometimes people say, oh, he's a VP in Microsoft. The VPs make, you know, minimum $1 million a year, you know. So that's the type of definition of a person, but that's nothing to compare to the person is a humble devotee who strictly follows the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. You think Krishna cares if someone's a VP in Microsoft that makes $1 million a year? He doesn't care about that. But if someone follows the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness and is always hearing Krishna Katha and chanting the names of the Lord in a very proper and serious way, the Lord takes notice of that. So we should understand what is real value in life. Real value in life is following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness in order to develop pure love for the Lord, simply following the rules and regulations without ever attaining love for Krishna is shrama evahi kevalam, basically a waste of time. The whole purpose of the rules and regulations is to lose one's false ego. It's to purify the false, not lose the ego, but to purify the false ego and bring it to real ego and real humility and real false pride and surrender to the instructions of Krishna and his representatives, the Shikshindiksha gurus and the acharyas. That's the real goal of keeping these vows. It's not simply following the vows. If we're in the nectar devotion, it's a very nice verse, which says that niyam agraha. Niyam agraha means following rules and regulations, but not actually attaining love of God, or not following the rules and regulations. It means to both things. So if we don't follow the rules and regulations, it's not proper. And if we do follow them but don't develop love of God, but we just follow them so that we can have three meals a day and a place to sleep for free, then that's not proper. See? So the goal is attaining pure love of Krishna. Savai pumsa paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksache. Ahituki pratihata jayatma supasiddhati. That's what the goal is. And it's explained in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it says, Savai pumsa paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksache. Number six, is it? Yes. The supreme occupation, or the supreme dharma. Dharma means your duty to God. It's a duty that you have to be Krishna conscious. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men or women can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated. There should be no material motive and uninterrupted. There should be no going to Disneyland and vacation here and there. It should all be unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service to completely satisfy the self. That means for you to be satisfied in yourself, to be self-satisfied, this is what you have to do. To be self-satisfied is not that you conquer the world like Alexander the Great. No, that's not going to give you self-satisfaction. And he was not satisfied because he conquered, but then his men lost everything. Right, so he told them, Prabhupada said, don't make me an Alexander. What he meant was to his GBCs and his devotees, he said, let's not conquer the world and then lose it all after I disappear. Right, so we have a duty to maintain Prabhupada's, what Prabhupada has done. If we can't expand, not everyone's able to expand, it's okay, at least maintain what's there. And if you can expand, well, that is the best. expand Krishna consciousness, but whatever you expand to should be maintained. It's not that you artificially expand and then lose the whole thing. See? So this is the supreme occupation for all humanity. That is, to attain loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Okay, and it should be pure devotional service. It should be mixed devotional service. So here we see Gandhari was a great, great personality. Even though she had the body of a woman, there was no, let's say, drawback for her. But unfortunately, her husband was not only physically blind, he was also spiritually blind. That was his real fault. Being physically blind, okay, it's not a fault. It's a fate. But being spiritually blind, that is a fault. Because there's no reason for it. If you're spiritually blind, it's because you are affected by the modes of material nature and you have false attachments and a false ego. So that is a fault. Okay, so both Gandhari and her husband were remarkable people. But unfortunately, the husband was weak spiritually, and look what happened. Because he was weak spiritually, he's suffering terribly. And the biggest, let's say, shame is after forcing the battle of Kurukshetra, and then they lost everything, all their sons, to be under the protection of Yudhisthira is a very, let's call it embarrassing or difficult thing. But Yudhisthira did not shy from his duty to protect them and to comfort them. But Vidura told them, look, what is this? You know, you're living in the house, you're being kept by the person that killed all your sons, right? So, I mean, you know, don't you learn your lesson now? You should give all this up and just, you know, meditate on Krishna. You know, you should go and end your life, at least, not being a kept person. You're a king. You have to be brave. You have to be courageous. You made a mistake. Now go and spend the rest of a little bit of life that you have meditating on the Lord. You know, so eventually they're going to leave Hastinapur, leave the protection of Yudhisthira, and go unprotected into the Himalayas so that they can die in a noble way meditating on Krishna. So we'll get to that point a little bit later on. Hare Krishna, where is the Srila Prabhupada ki jai? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.